Most of you who know me know that I don't like to say this much, but being a head elder comes with great responsibility. Takes a lot of patience, not just my family church, but my brothers, my sisters, like she was just doing that to me, because I always scold her. And so, when it comes time to do something from up here, it weighs a lot more on me. Because I'm not up here to give something wrong by intentions. See, that's why I have to be ready. Not be up here getting ready. Because I don't want to trip any of you all up and walk through those doors and say, man, can you believe that guy? Which guy? The guy that one tooth and a red tie. What did he say? Well, he said this and that. Oh, that Danny guy. No. Always, as I speak from up here, this is my source and my life to pass the message on to you all. Because we are all broken vessels. And we cannot carry the water, but the water will hold us together as we go forth. Let us pray. Father God, as we enter into your holy hour, dear Lord, it is not by our might nor our power, Father, but by you, Lord, we are here. Father, again, please anoint these words. Move the sinner from his place and let the Holy Spirit speak through these sinful lips. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Sometimes it gets a little dusty in here. And it gets in my eyes, so my eyes kind of get scratchy.
Don't feel like a
lone ranger. I won't. Thank you, Wanda. Be ready. Be ready, not getting ready. Be ready, not getting ready. Be ready, be ready, be ready. A pastor shared with me that if you want to be ready, you have to get up early hours in the morning and fall on your knees and give thanks for the grace that woke you up that morning. I hope you don't mind, but I'm going to share some history about myself. 22 years ago, I've shared with most of you, I was at a party for graduation. And I had a gun pointed at my forehead, and it was clicked to shoot me. But nothing happened. A month ago, most of you don't know that I ride a motorcycle. A month ago, a car clipped me to where I should have went down, and went down hard. But by the grace of God, an angel held me up. That's all I can say. And last Friday morning, two Fridays ago, 3:30 in the morning, I'm sitting in an intersection, getting ready to make a left turn at a green light, waiting for that green light. And the green light turns green, and the light turns green for me. And something says, wait. Again, wait. And usually my vision is like this. Because riding a motorcycle, you have to be prepared for whatever comes your way. I believe it was the Holy Spirit saying, wait. And then a second again, wait. Sure enough, this big diesel comes flying through. And it wasn't just a diesel truck with his trailer. And on the side of it was like a little puppy, a little pickup truck running next to it, running a red light. When they cross that intersection, that's where I would have been. It's hard at times to be ready. See, most of the time, I'm usually focused on the streets, on the places, the surroundings, But that morning, I was just focused on the red light, waiting to turn green. See, when you lose focus, the Holy Spirit will touch you. Come this way. Stop. Back up. Be ready. Not getting ready. About two more days before Jesus Christ's death, he shared the parable of the 10 virgins with the disciples on the Mount of Olives, as recorded in Matthew chapter 25. In Matthew 24, Jesus told the disciples about the signs of his return. And in Matthew 24, Jesus became serious when he clarified the characteristics of those who represent the five wise virgins, those who will be saved in the kingdom. I'm sorry, but I don't like to drink from up here, but now I realize why somebody has water up here, because you get dry throat when you're talking. So please forgive me. Let us read from chapter 25, shall we? Chapter 25 of Matthew. So we can have a better understanding of what Jesus is telling us. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. How many?
10.
Which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, and took no what? And took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open unto us." But he answered and said, "Verily, verily, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch, therefore, ye know neither the day nor the what? Wherein the Son of Man cometh." The 10 virgins waited for the coming of the bridegroom. The Bible says the 10 virgins were all waiting for the bridegroom. They were expecting the bridegroom to come. They all made some preparation to meet the bridegroom. You know, when we all come into the church, we're on fire. We want to do everything possibly can as a man, a woman, a child. I assume we're all still on fire because we're all sitting here. Amen? When I came into the church, I was in sixth grade. And I was on fire. Let me tell you, I was on fire. We went and sang at hospitals. We went as pathfinders, passing out literature. Because when you come in as a new believer, you're hungry, hungry, thirsty, hungry for what the Holy Spirit has to give you. And then as time went on and on, you grow up. You seem a little fuller. You seem a little less thirsty. And then we came to Arizona. You weren't as hungry. You weren't as thirsty. You didn't have that drive to go out there and pass literature. You didn't have that drive to go out and sing to the people in the hospitals. Visit with people. You lost that thirst, that hunger. And then the Lord told us, while the bridegroom tarried, we all slept and slumbered. Somehow the bridegroom was delayed. The bridegroom came at the time the 10 virgins never expected him to come. Unfortunately, this delay posed a problem as the delay dragged into the midnight hours. We're coming into the midnight hours. I can tell you I'm part of that sleeping and slumbering. As they lay dragged into the midnight hours, 5 virgins did not have enough oil when the bridegroom arrived. However, 5 virgins had extra oil, which kept their lamps burning until the arrival of the bridegroom. And then, followed a procession into the wedding. The other 5 virgins ran out of oil before the bridegroom even arrived, and had to go find some more oil. When they got back, the procession had gone. They were late. Any of y'all be late for work? Oh, I guess you're all on time for work. 5 days a week? Ah, you're late. I'm late. I'm usually late to church. However, the 5 virgins had extra oil. I'm sorry. The foolish 5 virgins then knocked on the door and asked the bridegroom to open the door for them. In Matthew 25:10-11. But the bridegroom answered, "I know you not. I know you not. I know you not." In page 406 of Christ's Object Lesson says, as Christ sat looking upon the party that waited for the bridegroom, he told his disciples the story of the 10 virgins by their experience, illustrating the experience of the church that shall live just before his second coming. What made these 5 virgins become wise? Anybody? They had their oil. What made these foolish virgins foolish? They didn't have enough oil. Anybody go hiking? You can raise your hand. Y'all know what it's like out here in the summer. You see it all the time on the news, right? Hiker picked up off the side of Camelback Mountain, fell off the side because he was what? Dehydrated. Squaw Peak, hiker, rushed to the hospital, fell off the side because he was dehydrated. He was not ready, or she was not ready. Because we all know the weather around here, right? That when we go, we have to take extra water. Having oil puts the line of demarcation between the 5 wise and the 5 foolish virgins. In order for a lamp to keep burning till midnight, it has to have enough oil. What is a lamp? Anybody know what a lamp is? 2 Samuel 22:29. For thou, Lord, art my lamp. O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalms 109, verse 105. The word of God gives us the light we need, you and me, to guide us on how to get to the kingdom. But the oil mentioned in this parable has a special meaning in relation to the word of God. Without the oil, the lamp cannot burn. And without the oil, we, you and me, cannot understand the word of God. But yet, we can understand Dr. Oz. We can understand Oprah. Oh, wait, we can understand Jerry Springer. We can even understand wrestling or the evening news. But this is the most understandable there is. My point, there is something important in this parable where Jesus highlighted the need to have, and that is oil. So what does the oil in this parable represent? The oil is the Holy Spirit. Christ's Object Lessons, page 407. The oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Remember, this parable is to do with those who live in our time. But those who live at the end time, till the time of the bridegroom's coming. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead to help us through in the last days. The five foolish virgins did not have the Holy Spirit. At the end, the latter rain, which is falling of the Holy Spirit upon the five wise virgins, will empower them to go through the time of trouble. In her book, Amazing Grace, page 194, sin could be resisted and overcome only through the mighty agency of the third person of Godhead, who would come with no modified energy, but in the fullness of divine power. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot understand the word of God. And truth cannot be revealed to us. In Matthew 24, verse 3-4, Jesus warns us not to be deceived by false theories and false prophecies at the end time. I saw a video of a self-proclaimed prophet who called himself Jesus. He lives in Florida. He said, there's no more sin. I've forgiven everything. There's no more devil. He says he is Jesus come back. And he has many, many followers. Why do they follow him? Because they know not the truth. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot understand the word of God. Christ Object Lessons, page 410, says, In the parable, all the 10 virgins went out to meet the bridegroom, and all had lamps of vessel for oil. For a time, there was seen no difference between them. How many? Them 10. So with the church that lives just before Christ's second coming, all have a knowledge of the scripture. All have heard the message of Christ's near approach. and confidently expect him appearing. But as the parable, so it is now. A time of waiting intervenes. Faith is tried. How many go to the DMV and wait in line for 2 hours? None of you? Maybe it's just me. I know definitely that your faith is tried. Is it not? And when the cry is heard, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Many are unready. Y'all didn't catch that. Many are unready. They have no oil in their vessels with their lamps. They are destitute of the Holy Spirit. Without the Spirit of God, a knowledge of his word is of no avail. You see, I can go and tell somebody, oh, hey, you know, Jesus died for you. Oh, yeah? Where is it at? Oh, it's in the Bible. Where in the Bible? Let me come back to you. See, I can go and tell that, but there's no avail. My brother and sister, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. See? That's the truth. From here, I can't just come and tell you what the Bible said. Does that make sense, family? They have no oil in their vessels with their lamps. They are destitute of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, a knowledge of his word is of no avail. The theory of truth unaccompanied by the Holy Spirit cannot quicken the soul or sanctify the heart. One made me familiar with the commands or promises of the Bible, but unless the Spirit of God sets the truth home, the character will not be transformed. Without the enlightenment of the Spirit, men will not be able to distinguish the truth from error. And they will fall under the masterful temptations of Satan. As you all have seen how the news and all this talk about the churches coming together, the first day churches coming together, the first day churches coming together. And then back in, I think, 2006, 2007, they were calling back for the Ten Commandments. TBN. I call it Trinity Blasphemy Network. They brought back the Ten Commandments. But let me tell you, brothers and sisters, it wasn't the Ten Commandments of the Bible. It was the Ten Commandments of the papacy. Truth from error. They will all fall under the masterful temptations of Satan. Many people today do not believe that the Holy Spirit is God. But the Bible says in Matthew 22:32 that if you sin against the Holy Spirit, there can be no more sacrifice for sin. That can be an unpardonable sin. God alone reads the hearts of men. As the Holy Spirit read the hearts of Ananias and Sapphira, as recorded in Acts chapter 5, they were killed for their sins against the Holy Spirit. That should be a lesson for us. And I'm not saying you're doomed and gloom. You see, because this message is not just for us. This message is for the truth seekers out there that don't know the truth from error. My point is the Holy Spirit is God. And without the Holy Spirit, we will all fall under the masterful errors. I have a statement that says, The Faith I Live by, page 52. We need to realize that the Holy Spirit is as much a person as God is a person. In the book Evangelism, page 615, there are three living persons of the heavenly trio. In the name of these three great powers, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, those who receive Christ by living faith are baptized, and those powers will cooperate with the obedient subject of heaven in their efforts to live the new life in Christ. The new life in Christ. Because I'm struggling to live the new life in Christ. Because I don't want to just be up here and give you some nonsense. If I wanted to do that, I could still be out in the club. I could still be out in the crack house. You see, I'm not working this to be left behind. I'm working this so we can all stand together in front of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because I don't want to be saying, God, I knew you were a hard man, so I took my talent and I buried it in the nightclub. I took my talent and I buried it in the streets and the parks getting drunk. I don't want to be that person. The Jewish leaders struggled with the idea that Jesus Christ was God. When Jesus forgave the sins of that paralytic man recorded in Mark 2, verse 1 through 11, the Pharisees called him a blasphemer. They said, God alone can forgive sin. Thus, Jesus was not God. Eventually, they killed Christ, who came to be their Savior. Brothers and sisters, history is repeating as we speak. Many today are like the Pharisees of Jesus Christ's time, who rejected him as not God. Some today do not believe that Jesus Christ is God, but a little God, a demigod. There's even talks of Adventists around the world that say, I don't believe in the Holy Spirit. Who is that? Counselors on Health, page 222. The Godhead was stirred with pity for the race, for you and me. And the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit gave themselves to the working out of a plan of redemption. The Holy Spirit, which is the oil, helps us to understand Jesus Christ. Helps us understand no more gossiping. Helps us understand no more backbiting. Helps us understand no more pointing fingers. Helps us understand to love one another. The Holy Spirit helps us understand that we shouldn't complain about him or her, but take it to him. Call upon him. The Holy Spirit is here to help us be ready. My brother Richard, he shared the death of that man. That man was a good friend of mine from childhood. That man and I were in the nightclubs and in the bars together. And as we grew up, we drifted our ways, but we stayed in contact. And that man eventually gave his life for his family. Be ready. Be ready. It's not the same as getting ready. You see, if you see my little 3-year-old running around here in just a tank top and pants, he was ready when we left the house. See? But I don't want you to think that he was getting ready here at church or on the way here. Sometimes when I get home and we have to go somewhere, I tell my kids, because I have 5 sons, I tell them, get ready. Get ready. And when I jingle my keys and I'm walking out the door, I can hear someone say, Dad, wait. Wait. I'm getting my shoes. Dad, wait, I'm getting my shirt. Be ready. It's not the same as getting ready. As Jesus tells us in Matthew 24:44, therefore, be also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man delayeth, cometh. For in such an hour as ye think not. I'm sorry, I was looking for my singers. Mrs. White says that at the end, the faithful, represented by the five wise, they go forth to meet the bridegroom, saying, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. Isaiah 25:9. Close your eyes with me, if you would, as I'm closing. Please, everybody, close your eyes. Now, imagine if we could. To your brothers and your sisters, one day you wake up and the earth is dark and desolate. And you see a bright light on far off. And you walk up to it. And you can see your mom. And you see all these joyful people in there. Just imagine with me. And you come up and you knock on that wall. And you realize that's the new city. That's the new city that has come down. And you're knocking. You're trying to get your mom's attention. And just think, she turns around and says, Mom! Mom! It's me! Tell Jesus I'm ready. Mom, tell Jesus to open the gates. I'm ready. Mom, please tell Jesus I'm ready. And your mother says to you, Son, I love you dearly. But I've had 1,000 years with the Lord to show me what you've done. Show me why you didn't wake up the first time. Show me what you did in darkness, son. And I'm free because the Lord has set me free. I love you, son. But Jesus has comforted me. Be ready. Be ready. Not getting ready.